I would be remiss if I didn't mention that George Norrie, one of the hardest working men in show business, will be going for a speaking engagement coming up, which is why I'm in tonight doing open lines on Coast to Coast. Your turn coming up in just a moment. On Tuesday night, George will be continuing the conversation about Bigfoot, probably bypassing the video that we linked up at coasttocoastam.com of Nobby, the North Carolina Bigfoot, if it really is. But he will be talking about it with experts coming up on Tuesday on Coast to Coast. Let me just clear something up before we go forward with open line calls. We don't really need to go back to last Saturday to the show with Dr. Bart Ehrman about the Bible. And I will fully stipulate that you are whoever you are a superior Christian and a finer human being than I am. That, and for all the people that were so mad at me because we did a show the week before that about the existence of God, I'm also stupid for believing in God. See, you're all right. But let's go to open lines and see where you're going to take this show coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Open lines for the rest of the night. We got you started with a couple of different topics, or you can create your own. Let's start with Larry in Helena, Montana on Coast to Coast for open lines on a wild card line. Larry?
Yeah, hi, Ian. I had a strange experience happen to me Wednesday here, March 23rd, 2011. Our sky's always been like glazed over, but on Wednesday we had a nice blue sky, and about 20 minutes before sunset, I kind of looked at the sun for about 2-3 seconds, and you know when a person takes your picture with a flash bulb, and right after the picture, if you close your eyes, you still see the flash?
Yeah, I've still got those from, like, my class photo in fifth grade. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I just glanced at the sun for, like, 2-3 seconds. It was hard to look at it. And I looked away, and I closed my eyes, and I saw the sun. It was about the size of a quarter. But at the 7 o'clock position, there was another circle about this little smaller than a pencil eraser. At the 7 o'clock position, about 2/16 away from the sun, so that'd be a space there. And then at the 9 o'clock position, there was like, I guess you could call it Planet X or whatever you want, and that was about a quarter inch away. And then this Planet X, it had like a tail, like a, you know, you fly a kite and the
right
tail has knots tied in it.
Sure.
Okay, this Planet X at the 9 o'clock position, a quarter inch away, it had like a kite tail following it, and it was from that, this Planet X, it was about the size of a bibby or a pellet gun, you know, bibby.
Yeah.
And then at the 1 o'clock position, if you take a pencil and draw a little line, a little circle, a little dot, and make it a little bigger, and then you go out at 1 o'clock again, and you're working your way toward the sun, and it was kind of like a kite tail with knots in it, but not in a straight line, they're a little offset. Well, there looked like about 12 different things trailing this thing, and it looked like the moons of this that were. And
what do you think it was?
Well, here's what I think. That binary star, I believe it really existed. I believe it's really a star. And this star at the 7 o'clock position, it was just bright and defined.
Hmm.
And I don't recommend anybody do this here, because after I did this here, I've tried to read, you know, some type lines on a page, and you'd only see like a letter and then 2-3 letters you miss, and then you'd see a letter or two. And it took me about 15 minutes to be able to start reading lines. And even
did it like burn it burned into your eyes from like too many, like you were facing the paparazzi with a lot of flashbulbs?
Well, I just don't recommend anybody do that. And, about 30 minutes later, I could, you know, read and everything fine and everything else, but I had a little eye strain, but that's what I saw, and I felt compelled to share that with your viewers, because, see, here, when you have a blue sky, they're doing checkerboard crisscross with the scan trails, and then it glazes over, and this has been going on, like, all year, and real heavy. Anytime you got a little blue sky, they're spraying these scan trails so you can't see what's up there, so here was the first time we had a blue sky that where you could see, you know, really see the sun, and
Okay.
I just kind of took a chance to glance at it, but when I closed my eyes, because it kind of burned my eyes.
I got that. Yeah, that's a good reminder then for people to not stare into something like that for fear that that would happen to them. And thanks for registering what you saw. Let's see whether somebody else can resonate with that on another open line call later on. First, we start with Carlos in Carson, California, on Coast to Coast on another open line. Carlos?
Hi, Ian. Listen, in my years of doing the research...
Carlos, is this the same Carlos who calls all the time?
No, I called you about a month ago, buddy.
Okay, you call all the time, don't you?
No, not quite. About
okay,
a month ago.
All right.
I love calling in. I love talking to you.
All right, go ahead.
Anyway,
yeah.
In my years of research, I've detected certain patterns of certain tragic events or crises that coincide with certain dates. For instance, you have 9/11,
right?
Which gives you an 11. It happened on September the 11th, but then you got the episode in Japan happening on 3/11. You had the terrorist attack in Spain happening on 3/11.
Okay.
You had Pinochet taking Salvador Allende.
I think I get the idea.
Back in 9/11.
But what's the significance of 11? What does 11 mean to you then?
I don't know what it means, but I know that people that orchestrate world events, world crisis,
they're stuck in a rut.
To them.
Yeah, they got to think outside the box. They're always the people that are orchestrating world events are stuck on this whole 11 thing.
Yes, look, the towers themselves make up an 11, and people don't know that the towers, the construction for the towers began on September the 11th, 1972, by the Rockefeller family. Now, what a great coincidence, isn't it?
So 11, and 11 is like their signal, their code to us on how they're continuing to manipulate everything through the number 11.
Exactly, and that's why I'm led to believe the event in Japan was contrived to bring about another crisis that puts people in dependence on governments in a state of emergency where the government has justification to enforce all these draconian laws, martial law, the whole thing. But look, April 19th is coming up also.
April 11th. April 11th, not the 19th. So let's do this. Let us circle the calendar right now for April 11th, and we will watch for a significant event that happens on the 11th that would follow this pattern. And if they don't do it on the 11th, it's because they heard us talking about it, and now they know we're on to them. So then we have to also look for, like, the 10th or the 12th. But we'll look for the 11th first, and we'll see what happens. And thanks for giving us that. All we can do is watch from this point forward. Let's go to David, who's in Oxford, Mississippi, on the Skype line on Coast to Coast for Open Lines. David?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing all right. Open Lines, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I wanted to talk about the central banking in the United States and how it's, in essence, illegal, and it's been quashed before, and I don't see why the American public don't try and quash central banking once again.
Are you talking about the Fed, or would you say central?
Fed.
Okay, so you're talking about the Fed and the famous Federal Reserve Act of 1913 on Jekyll
Correct.
Island that Glenn Beck was talking about?
Well, I don't know about, I don't watch Glenn Beck.
He was just talking about it the other day. So what is it, what do you want to do about it?
Well, I pretty much think it should be abolished in and of itself. Remove the fiat currency, debt-based banking. It serves to concentrate the financial strength of a nation into one single institution. It exposes the government to control by foreign interests. It serves mainly to make the rich richer. It exercises control over members of Congress. It favors some areas of the country over others.
What's that noise in the background?
What noise in the background?
I'm hearing that noise. Are you hearing a noise? It said Scott with the Skype line. Okay, that's fine. We're getting a weird Skype line noise, and so I'll move on. But it sounded like... At first, it sounded like it was. Are we still getting that? We can get rid of that, can't we? Okay, good.
All right. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You can't help it. But thank you, David. I can't keep going with that there in the background. There was also a bad buzz on the line, too. But fair enough. I mean, a lot of people have been calling for the end of the Federal Reserve for a very long time. Yet it will be celebrating its 100th anniversary coming up, if somebody doesn't stop it, in 2013. East of the Rockies, Bob is in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, on Coast to Coast. Bob?
Oh, good evening, Bennett. Hey, I've been doing something for the last 18 years. I started a convention in Kettle Moraine, Wisconsin, at about 50 miles north of Milwaukee. It's a resort area. And we have it the second Saturday in July. And it runs way into the evening, and we watch the UFOs come in.
Oh, cool. Do they always come in on time?
Sometimes they come in, sometimes they don't show. We have about 2.5 hours of film of them coming in. Sometimes there's six at a time.
Hmm.
And one evening before they came in, a bolt of lightning shot horizontally through the sky, and then they started coming in. There were orange globes, and they all lined up. There were six of them. Three of them went to the side, and they did an aerial ballet. It was really something to see.
I bet.
And a couple of women passed out, and one guy went kind of bonkers. And he was jumping up and down saying, hey, it can't be anything like this, you know.
Are you warning us then we should leave our women folk behind then for fear of this, or?
Oh, no.
Only the hardier gals should probably make the trip.
No, it was just two women that they just got carried away.
Just got carried away.
Yeah, they passed out. They were laying on a lawn chair for a while.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I more or less contacted an extraterrestrial, a woman, which I called Eve, for the last 10, 12 years. So she was a very beautiful woman, and she had a cadre of about 10, 12 UFOs that she directs in whatever she's trying to straighten out down here. So about I'd be 6 weeks ago, I went to bed and I slept, and all of a sudden, for some reason, I woke up. So I sat up in bed partway, and here's this woman standing next to the edge of my bed and in between the closet doors. Well, incidentally, that little signal you're getting might be this woman I'm talking about.
What signal are you talking about?
Well, you didn't hear those little tweets going on all the time before I got on here?
That was on a Skype line. That was because there's some technicality in the Skype line that was giving us that.
Oh, so. All right. Could be. I've had troubles already when I call, and there's something coming in.
Do you think people are interfering with your line?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so real quickly, so Eve is a beautiful woman. Where is she from?
All right. She's she was very tall. She had platinum hair. She's a Nordic, or else she's an Anunnaki. One of the two.
Okay.
I'm very familiar with most of these creatures, or not these creatures, but the extraterrestrials. This is an old baloney. What I'm telling you is the truth. I'm an old pilot, and I know what I'm seeing as far as the airways go, what's going through there. I don't see a firefly or something like that, and it's called a UFO. I see the real thing.
Got it. So,
we have people down there. 300-400 people watching this thing when they
But dude, don't leave us hanging here. So she comes and she wakes you up in the middle of the night, and Eve, a tall Nordic looking, Anunnaki, standing there. What does she say to you?
She doesn't. It was nothing. It was done by the telepathic impressions.
Okay, so she's just standing there, just creeping you out while you're sleeping.
I wasn't sleeping. I was wide awake.
Well, I know, but she woke you up.
Yeah.
So you're there, and then she just stands there and stares at you?
She was looking right at me, and had a kind of a very benign or pleasant look on her face.
Okay.
And she told me some things.
Well, that's what I'm asking. What did she tell you?
Well, she's doing a lot, which a lot of these extraterrestrial groups are doing. They want to stop war.
They want to stop, I'm sorry, war.
Yeah.
Okay. So she came down because of Libya, or?
Pardon?
Because of Libya, or was there anything in particular she wanted to comment on?
Well, yes. What we're doing down here by perpetrating wars all the time, and it can't last.
Okay. All right.
And another thing that's going on that people are getting into, and that is building the magnetic motor. Now, she didn't tell me anything about this. I could go a long way with what she told me.
We don't have the time, but so magnetic motors.
Yeah, in Wisconsin, there is a place where some people are doing this.
Okay, and they should stop that.
I will not give the name of it. But these are motors. There's no battery in them. They're simply...
Oh, you're talking about like a perpetual motion machine.
Well, you could kind of call it that. Yet, these magnets are arranged as an armature, a spiral armature, inside of a magnetic depolarized...
Okay.
It's inside of magnets that are...
Well, anytime you're talking about engines, it won't be hard for you to talk over my head, so you're probably losing me there a little bit. But fair enough. So what's the date again for the where people can go? And do you have a website set up for people to join you for this?
Well, Dundee, Wisconsin. It's 50 miles north of Milwaukee. You can find it on the map.
Yeah.
And every second Saturday in July... You will find people there.
Okay.
And this has been carried on the websites and things like that.
Very good. Well, I'll send people your way via the internet, and hopefully they'll be able to hook up with you coming up in July. That is, if the world doesn't end on May 21st of 2011, which makes all, you know, dates, plans, contingency operations after May 21st. Let's grab West of the Rockies, Dave. In Orville, Washington, on open lines on Coast to Coast. Dave?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Good. You had a guest on talking about population shifting to different states.
Yep.
And it reminded me that I guess the administration's new idea for Homeland Security is take the National Guard off the borders. That's going to be their new plan. They're pulling them back.
Was it working?
There's something that needs to get done down there.
But was it working? I don't think it's working. So I think that's...
I think basically, yeah, they're a bit upset in Arizona about this. They said it was helping somewhat.
Okay, but...
And months ago, when the administration attacked Arizona for trying to pass a law... that was kind of in answer to what was going on in Arizona, that people can't even leave their homes anymore. If you're 50, 60 miles within the border, if you leave your home for any length of time, you come home, it's probably going to be occupied by the drug lords that are moving people up.
How far? Well, what was the time difference you've heard between when you walk out your door and the drug lords take over your house?
They had
like hours
meetings. Well, if you're gone, maybe 3-4 hours.
You come home and there's a drug lord there.
Well, there's people watching. There's people watching because they're moving people north.
Right. No, but I was just about the idea about leaving the house for just a couple hours and then you come home and there's a drug lord there. Because you're right. That would pretty much spook you out from. I'd have my groceries delivered. Let's just say that if you're going to do that. Interesting. Well, again, that's where the population shift is going toward is Arizona. And frankly, I talk to people from Arizona all the time and they seem pretty happy living there. And maybe that's why other people are following. Will the resources support that though? That's the part I'm sort of, my impression was that Arizona resources were already strained. But maybe if the people that are moving there are retirees, so they're coming with more money, they don't require jobs, they're going to bring more into the economy than they're going to take, then that could be a good thing for the people of Arizona and for the Southwest. Open lines. We got one or two open lines. We'll try and get you the numbers coming up next so that you too can either join in any of the conversations that have started and or start your own coming up next on Coast to Coast. In for George Norrie tonight, this is Ian Punnett. Coming up tomorrow night, Saturday night's my usual night on Coast to Coast, and we will be talking about who will be best prepared with the coming zombie apocalypse. When the dead once more walk the earth, when all they are interested in is eating our brains. Which governments will be best prepared to deal with the undead? And which political systems? Would it be the liberal model, the neoconservative model, the realist model? Which international governing body might have to be the one to step up to control the zombie apocalypse? And what can we count on, based on human history, what can we count on to completely fail us when it comes to the zombies once more trying to take over the world? We'll talk about that coming up tomorrow night with a professor from Tufts University. He is the professor of international politics at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy, and he's studied this. He knows all about what's going to happen with the coming zombie apocalypse tomorrow night on Coast to Coast. And we'll find out where you are an expert, in what field of experience, next as we get to more open line calls on Coast to Coast. In for George Norrie, this is Ian Ponnett. So I looked up what I could find on that story about the National Guard troops being pulled off the border in Arizona in deference to the last caller. I can't find anything about drug lords taking over houses within a couple hours, but what I do find is that Matt Chandler, a spokesman for Homeland Security, said that this will happen in June. Soldiers, National Guard soldiers, have helped seize over 14,000 pounds of drugs, and that other Homeland Security personnel have been added to the southern border. However, Governor Jan Brewer, who called for the National Guard deployment last summer, has sued the federal government for not enforcing immigration laws, has said Tuesday she was disappointed with that deployment was ending on schedule and she wanted it extended. Hopefully the personnel that they'll bring in behind the National Guard will be enough to help keep things safe or safer, because if the drug lords are already taken over, then we got to do more. Let's get back to open lines on Coast to Coast, and we'll start with first time caller line Scott in Riverside, California on Coast to Coast. Scott?
Yes, about this reactor situation in Japan.
Yes, unpredictable.
Those reactors were state-of-the-art at the time they were built, which I believe was the 1960s. Those are BWR reactors, which are boiling water reactors, which are kind of primitive in that the water can maintain radioactivity throughout the complete system. Following those, a few years after, those were created with a PWR, or pressure water reactors, where the water that first connects the heat in the radioactive rods is not the same water that goes through and pushes the turbines, you know, when it becomes steam. So, well, nonetheless, they're all.
Yeah, we can't afford that. So, what is it? What's the point? What's this about then?
Well, they're all uranium and plutonium reactors, which run on fission, on a chain reaction of uranium. And there's talk now about actually creating fusion reactors from hydrogen, creating hydrogen into helium, refuse it.
Okay.
Same process as the atomic bombs. The first ones at Los Alamos, Hiroshima, Nagasaki were uranium. By the 1950s, we developed a hydrogen bomb, and now they're talking about doing that with reactors. The only problem is you have to get 100 million degrees in order to actually fuse. Now, that might be a safer alternative, because if my figures are correct, the world's run 20% on nuclear reaction energy. And if you try and close, if there's a safety concern, if you have one more of these incidents, like in the West, people want to start, limiting this energy or reducing it.
I'm not sure that I don't know how many more reactors are going to be coming online anytime soon. I've seen a couple of different stories about states that were looking at adding reactors who are now kind of putting those plans on hold for the moment. But I think some of that has to speak to, and thanks for jumping in on the conversation we talked about last hour. We just don't know where this is going. We really don't know. I mean, you can have models for it. You have computer models for the trajectory of this meltdown in Japan. And maybe by a miracle, maybe that be religious and or even just a scientific miracle, the planets will line up just right, whatever. And this meltdown will cease, or that some factor will come into it that'll keep it from following the worst case scenario. But what we see time and time again is this, just when you think the story isn't going to follow along the worst case scenario, it does. And it continues to. And we need to keep an eye on it. And I don't know. Maybe you're right that other people will jump in on the nuclear game, but I'm guessing a lot of communities are going to say no for now. Michael is in Los Angeles on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Michael?
How are you?
Doing well. Where do you want to take us?
Well, you know what? I've just been listening to your show over the last couple of years and reading a lot of different stuff from different people that are on your show. And you just can't help but draw parallels from their information. The parallels are just too powerful to like turn away from.
Give me an example of that.
Okay, we got Ed Dames talking about the New Madrid, and FEMA is preparing for a big disaster there.
You're talking about the New Madrid fault?
Yeah, the New Madrid, however you want.
That's fine. That's how they pronounce it. Go ahead.
I've heard a lot of different pronunciations of that, especially from guys down in that area. But
well, I lived there. It was New Madrid.
Last time
I checked, it was New Madrid. But go ahead.
Okay, so we got Nancy Leader. We got Edgar Casey, Michael Scallion, MAP. You know, and then FEMA, of course, is preparing for a disaster in that area. So, and the Ed Dames information apparently is just so bulletproof now that their technology has been developed, the remote viewing stuff.
What is Ed Dames saying is going to happen and when?
He actually was on the other night with George, and he told George, he didn't want to spook George, but he said, I'm sorry to say that we analyzed and remote viewed the next big mass death earthquake. And all of their Matrix Institute students and learned remote viewers said the New Madrid fault is going to be a big issue, and St. Louis is going to suffer massive deaths, even worse than Japan.
So, when?
Soon. Like, really soon. Like, get out of Dodge now. That's what he told George.
Interesting. So yeah. Sometime this spring and
well,
or summer.
Thinking, yeah, well, there was a guy before him, a French astronomer and astrologer, and he actually alluded to big stuff happening in the period between the end of this month, then June, and then from June to December. So
interesting. Well, I lived in, and thank you for that. Appreciate that. I didn't hear it, so I'll be curious to see what happens then, maybe on April 11th. But I lived in that area. I lived in Nashville for a long time, and there were often predictions from geologists or seismologists, none of which, when I was there, happened. But we were continually being warned just how significant it could be, that you would see what had happened the last time there was a major New Madrid earthquake, and that was a shift in the rivers. There's stories about how at one point the Mississippi flowed in an opposite direction. There are still towns that have disappeared off the map because of the New Madrid earthquake and then the subsequent shift of the river flows. I can't remember if it was the Cumberland that shifted, but one of the rivers permanently shifted as a result. So there's a model for that. I mean, there's certainly a history in that, and we'll have to just to keep an eye on that. Wildcard line, Roger is in Wilmington, Delaware on Coast to Coast on a wildcard line. Roger?
Hey, I was just wondering if you'd been following this thing on with Sammy Hagar, the rock star, on the he's getting a lot of press about coming out, I guess, kind of as an alien abductee in his new autobiography.
In our first hour, we played him talking about that. We had a tape of you can find it, though. We linked it up at coasttocoastam.com. If you go to AOL, the Weird News column that's on AOL.com from Buck Wolf. And they had a follow-up interview with Sammy Hagar, and we played it back last hour. We played about 2 or 3 minutes of it last hour. But you can go look at a longer-form version of that just by going through the website.
That's awesome. I'll check it out. Jay Leno was making some jokes about it last night, and then he said that he's booked him for, like, next week or something. But,
right.
You know, those of us who are rock and roll fans have known this for years. He was on the Bill Maher show, I think, way back in the 90s with Whitley Strieber. And, of course, all the panelists on the show all started making fun of him and stuff. But he's mentioned it on and off.
Yeah, I've never heard him mention it before. I think it's cool. I mean, I've just never heard him say that before. He's going to be – they're trying to get him on Coast to Coast. Maybe George will have him in the weeks ahead. It would be nice.
I think it's interesting because, you know, that would make him I guess, technically the most famous person to ever come out with something like this. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame with Van Halen, and he's a multimillionaire with this tequila business. And
well, maybe the most famous rocker, but I would say the presidents who have seen UFOs would rank just slightly ahead of Sammy Hagar. I like Sammy Hagar, yeah. But I would put a president slightly more famous than.
Oh yeah, but I mean, as far as like abductees, there are people who hinted at it. We've had Dan Aykroyd and Rosie O'Donnell, and when he was alive, Morton Downey, the old.
I didn't know that. Really, Morton Downey Jr. Did he hint at an abductee story?
Since he underwent a regression on his television show, and then at the end he said, "I don't believe it." He had, you know, they went through a hardcore regression with a hypnotist where he was having this experience, and he said, "I still don't believe it." But then since he's passed away, Whitley Strieber's mentioned it a couple times.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Apparently that he had some major teeth root canal problems that the aliens helped them with. That's crazy.
Wow.
So Whitley's told that story a couple times.
Maybe that's why I'm dental phobic. I have to get a hypnotist and work on that. Thank you. And it's funny, I saw Morton Downey Jr. once in my hometown. I didn't live there anymore, but I just happened to be passing through or seeing my parents or something. And I saw Morton Downey Jr. was sitting on the sidewalk with a guy having like an espresso just on the sidewalk in front of a little coffee shop. And then 2 weeks later, I heard the word that he died. And I almost got out or said something or almost just waved, and I didn't. And then I kind of regretted that 2 weeks later. Let's go to Tom, who's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on Coast to Coast on a Wild Card line. Tom?
Hi, Ian. It's nice to talk to you again.
You too. It sounds like you're on a speakerphone.
I'm on my Bluetooth headset.
Okay. Well, it sounds a little hollow, so that may cut our time here a little bit, but go ahead.
All right. I just had a thought I wanted to share about ancient prophecies, writings about flying machines, you know, depictions of flying machines and submarines and stuff like that in old ancient artwork. I had a thought, and this is just pure speculation, but I think maybe one of the things that might explain that kind of thing is that the guys who were thinking up this stuff were having visions of the distant future, which happens to be our present, and they were seeing our technology in their visions.
Hmm. Okay.
Also, real quick, I wanted to say if on the topic of zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
If there's any ever a zombie apocalypse in the United States, we just need to redirect them to Washington D.C. where they'll starve to death.
Because there's no brains there, is what you're saying.
Right.
I get that. Funny. Well, you know what? Washington may be a place where you might want to move should there be a zombie apocalypse. According to our author tomorrow night, Daniel Dresner, Theories of International Politics and Zombies. And then in the first hour, Stephen Yoon from The Walking Dead, AMC's fabulous series that's now out on DVD. Let's go west of the Rockies. Gary is in Corning, California, on Coast to Coast. Gary?
Hi, Ian. Good to talk to you again.
And you.
I thought I'd go a little light and take you on a journey. Hypnosis is a good segue into what I was going to say. I'm thinking that we're way too conditioned. You know, we're all so in danger of becoming like Pavlovian dogs, you know, salivating to the ringing bells of manipulation in the news and everywhere else. And I thought I would go ahead and sort of take your quotient on your ability to be distracted. So do you want to go ahead and go on this journey?
I'm not quite sure where this journey is taking us, so I'll just have to say yes until I know otherwise.
Okay, thank you. Well, all right, let's start with this. I can't make you say the word no, no matter what. I'm not the power of the universe that could actually force you to say no. If you try to say, you can say anything else, but I'm going to make you say no within the next 2 minutes.
Because you're going to ask me to sleep with you. And I will tell you, no. I will tell you that right now. We don't have to wait 2 minutes.
I'm already with George.
No. And let me say no again, Gary. No, no matter how many times you ask, it'll be no.
All right. Now, starting now. All right. You will not say that word. Ready?
No.
You can't do that. You're not letting me take.
I'm trying to, but you said if I'm ready, and I'm not yet.
Okay.
So,
all right, one.
Now I'm ready.
Two, three. Okay, you try really hard. You are in a small boat, a little rowboat. Mm-hmm. You got one oar, and you're going across shark-infested waters. Your destination is a small island, which you are rapidly approaching. However, on the bottom of your boat, you have holes, and you're beginning to sink. But you got about 20 feet away from this small island. So do you stay in the boat with one oar and sink slowly, or do you get out and jump in the water and try to make it across?
I stay in the boat.
Yeah, good choice. Excellent. So you make it to the island. Now, remember, you've been starving for about a week. To your left, you see on the island, you're very hungry, and there is an apple waiting for you on the left, and then there's a steak on the right, fully cooked, and you're very hungry, and you can only have one. Which one do you choose?
Well, you have to go for the protein, and so I would go for the steak.
You've heard this before.
Why?
You've heard it, haven't you?
No. Doesn't that make total sense?
I told you I'd make you say no.
See?
I am that power.
There you go.
There it is.
There you go. Okay.
But we get distracted.
All right. Well, very good.
So that was it.
And I still won't sleep with you. Thank you, Gary. And then let's go to Ted, who's in Abingdon, Virginia, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. Ted?
Good evening, Ian. How are you?
Doing well. Where are you going to take us?
I just wanted to bring something up about the Japanese problem that I've not heard anyone discuss yet.
I'm glad you're going to do that.
I believe Japan is the second largest purchaser of American treasury obligations, treasury bills, treasury bonds, etc. And if I'm thinking, if you know, who knows how much this is going to cost that country to rebuild? But if you're thinking $300, $400, $500 billion, and God knows maybe $1 trillion. One, they won't be buying American treasury obligations, and two, they might start dumping them on the market to desperately raise capital. If that happens, what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen is, first of all, interest rates are going to go through the stratosphere, and two, capital is going to dry up, I think.
Well, I wish I knew enough about it, but you know, I'm willing to accept your premise that Japan is a high buyer of treasury obligations. I don't know why that wouldn't be true, even if they're not number two, let's say they're number four. It still doesn't matter. They could rock the world by if they're going to dump them. Yeah. Now, but I just don't know whether there's an actual sort of causal relationship with where they are with dumping them, whether that in the long run, whether that would help them, because Japan is also one of the bigger investors in the United States economy, right?
That's true.
So why would they? Wouldn't it be cutting off their nose to spite their face?
You know that that's true, unless things really got, desperate. But you're right about that. You got a good point. But just something to consider.
Here's what I heard, and I thought this was interesting, that because we're so, you know, tightly wound together, our economies, there will be fewer cars that Ford is going to produce with the color black, because the particular element, the metallic element they use for the pigment for black, comes out of Japan, and they're not going to have as much, which is sort of an interesting reverse. You remember that old expression Henry Ford used to say, that America can have the car, can have the Model T in any color they want as long as it's black? Well, now it's going to be the reverse of that. You can have your car in any color as long as it's not black. And then I heard that they're going to start producing more engines for Japanese cars in the United States, because the plants there are damaged. They're not back online, and they want to be able to meet, their sales projections. So more Americans will be making Japanese engines at the existing, I think, Nissan plants here in the United States. In any event, I hope that Japan gets back on their feet financially. We need all the players back on the field in order to help the world recover, and we still have a ways to go on that, just as like we have a ways to go on tonight's show. Not even halfway done. And more of your open line calls coming up next. We'll run the numbers for you at the top of the hour. George has the night off. This is Ian Punnett.